Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Nick Wolf here at First Baptist Church, Brookhaven. Y'all are listening to the first ever episode of, what are we going to call this today? The FBC Brookhaven Podcast. Well, that has a nice ring to it. So I am joined here today on mic number one with Will Thibodeau. Say hey, Will.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, good to have you, Will. Thanks for coming in today. On mic two, we've got Bart Allen. Hey, Bart.
Hello.
All right. Y'all, we set up a living room in the sanctuary, so we're all sitting in chair backs, like high chair backs, hanging out. It is a weird, surreal thing to be this chill in our sanctuary. Of course, I'm Nick. I'm on mic three, and we also have Haley Thibodeau on mic four. Say hey, Haley.
Hey.
All right. Good. Well, welcome, everybody. Today, our goal in just getting this content to you is to give you a little extra detail about the mission experiences of Will and Haley and Bart. They went on a mission trip to Ecuador. Who remembers the dates? Do y'all remember the dates?
It was the week of Memorial Day.
It was. We left the weekend of Memorial Day on a Saturday.
Yeah. How was the travel? Did y'all have like smooth sailing getting down there?
Better than we expected.
Yeah. Really?
We thought the airport would be extremely crowded, but by the time we made it there at, 2 o'clock, it was chilled out. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Haley, where do y'all fly out of? Like you started... So y'all drove, so bus took you to New Orleans.
Right.
Who drove the bus? T had to be T.
No, T was already down there.
Okay.
So,
Was on mission trip team
he
A.
He was on team A, yeah.
Yeah, he was on first team.
So Daryl took y'all down there.
No, it was Allen.
Mm-hmm. Collins Allen.
Collins Allen took us, yeah.
Give a big shout out to Collins.
Yeah.
Thank you, Collins.
He was nervous.
Yeah, that's great. So he drove y'all down there.
Yeah.
You got on an airplane. Was it
Flew
Delta?
To Houston. On
Go
United.
To Houston.
United.
Okay.
Yep.
On United.
And then we had a little layover there and flew out of Houston and arrived in Quito about between 12 and 1 in the morning.
Now, they are in our time zone.
Yes. Central.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of a convenient mission experience when you're in the same time zone, even though you're south. However many miles that is. Well, that's good to hear. And, of course, y'all were there that week, and y'all stayed for six days.
Yeah, we traveled back and stopped in Banos and then went from there to Quito on that Friday. And so our travels back started on Friday morning, but we did not return until Saturday morning just because of the travel.
Interesting timing. The A team was coming out of the airport as we were going in. So we had a special moment there.
Oh.
We were on opposite sides of the glass.
Yeah.
Will took a selfie with all of us in it and made a great picture.
Yeah.
We couldn't reach them, but we could.
A little passing of the baton between Team A and Team B.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first year. I've been here almost 10 years, and this is the first year where I know we had so many people interested in going to, Haley, where did we go, first of all? Tell us where we went.
We went to Ecuador.
Ecuador, and the name of the ministry?
Casa de Fe.
Casa de Fe, which means?
House of Faith.
The House of Faith. It's such a beautiful name. And this is the first year that we've had to split and actually take two teams because of the interest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yes.
And I just want to give another shout out to Connie Hodges, and it was a massive effort to coordinate all of that, and she did it. We're just so thankful for Connie and all of the work that goes into just putting a trip together. But she really doubled her workload this year, having two teams go. But it sounds like it was a great time. So you got down there on a Sunday late?
Saturday night. Yeah.
Now, of course, that first day, you probably want to just kind of recoup a little bit. Huh?
Well, when we leave the airport at 1:30 in the morning, we still have a 4.5 to 5 hour bus ride to get to Shell through the mountains in the dark.
Oh, wonderful. Amen. How did that feel, Will?
I may have slept maybe 30 to 45 minutes. Yeah. My wife, she slept the whole way, which was great.
Well,
for
good.
Her.
Good for you, Haley.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was interested to see, and I like the topography and all the different stuff that seeing the mountains and all that. But, you see all of these lights leaving out of Quito and just how big of a city it is. And you can really tell at night because there's so many lights on.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting being the first international mission trip that I've ever been on, being in a different country, different environment, totally just being able to witness that firsthand was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it just puts everything into context. You know, if you think of Quito, Ecuador, you don't think of a big metro.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a big
huge
city. Yeah. Cool. So 4 hours. And then you're at Casa de Fe.
We got there not too long after the sun came up and pulled in, unloaded the buses, and kind of got to rest our head for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was nice. It was extremely nice to be able to lay down and just kind of rest for a little bit and then get the day started a little after lunch.
Tell us, you know, for those of us who've not gone to Casa de Fe, what are the accommodations now? I know they've changed, Bart, over the years.
Yes.
We all see the pictures on Facebook and all the growth of that ministry. And of course, we've, you know, been front row seat to that. But I know the accommodations probably have improved and it's a little more comfortable. Would you mind?
Well,
give us a rundown of that.
So we have dormitories on campus now where everybody stays. And they're very clean, very efficient, not fancy, obviously, but I would say it's a lot better than what you expect if you've never been there before. We're very well attended to. We have breakfast cooked for us every morning in the kitchen, and it's just it's a wonderful time.
Yep, Patty Sue, in my interactions with her stateside, you know, she'll come in and she's a hospitable person, and so it doesn't surprise me at all that they would dote on First Baptist Brookhaven. What about the food, Haley? Tell us a little bit about the food.
It was amazing.
Oh,
I was really nervous because I am a picky eater.
Yeah, sure.
But the fruit too. It was just so fresh. I eat those same fruits here, but it's just nothing compared to those. And I specifically Patty Sue's cornbread.
Oh,
it was so good. And I will think about it.
We're thinking
year.
About it right now.
Cornbread. But it was great. And they rang a dinner bell for any time to eat. And it was just like everybody stopped what they were doing. They knew what that meant. And we went and ate. And it was cool.
Now y'all would share dining with, you know, the staff and the kids there. Was everybody eating together?
So lunch. Yeah. It was very interesting, and that's one thing that a big takeaway is just seeing the kids and how well behaved they are and how attentive they are to everything. And you've got 3 and 4 year olds. When they got done eating lunch, they were going over there with their plates and forks and spoons, and they're washing their own dishes and putting them up. And that's something that was very eye-opening to me because I've got a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I'm going, man, if they can do that, mine can too.
And these little babies can barely reach the sink, but they're still, they know what they're supposed to do.
Now, let's pause right there for just 1 second. Let's talk a little bit about what the House of Faith is. And so this Casa de Fe, we don't want to make any assumptions here that the listener knows what's going on down there, but Patty Sue Arnold went to Ecuador on mission, 20 some odd years ago. And she just was captured by the people there and then by the need there. And so she transplanted herself down there and started basically an orphanage for special needs children.
Right.
And now, is that all the residents now? Or some of the residents there just orphans, you know, that came to her?
It's some of both.
Yeah.
A lot of the children there are special needs. that's the reason why they just built the Forever Home, because there's some that will never be able to leave. Some of the children there are orphans. Some of the children there are there because the local authority, the police or whatever, took them out of abusive situations and brought them there to be safe. It's an endless array of stories, some of them rather horrific, but that's the reason for Casa de Fe.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, you know, that all of the children at Casa de Fe are orphans, which obviously have needs, but then a bulk of them are special needs orphans. And you can see in that culture, I experienced it in Peru when I went on mission there, where a parent is just at their wits' end and they don't know how to help their special needs child. A lot of times they would just leave them on the doorstep of a church or a police department or something like that. And there was no, that's how they would orphan them, abandon them.
Peru and Ecuador are very much alike in that culture. Yeah. And there is a culture there that if your child's not perfect, that it's a reflection on you, which is sad.
Very. But then you have someone like Patty Sue, who the Lord, you know, affected her to go down there and to, you know, as many as she can. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And so I was pausing there because Will was talking about everybody pitches in, even the special needs children. That whatever they're able to do, they can do. And what a family. That's a pretty cool thing. So y'all were able to eat lunch together, and they probably had different meal times than y'all.
Yeah. So as far as lunch goes, we would usually eat, was it 1 or 12 or what?
One
o'clock every day. And, we would stop whatever we were doing, working on or whatever we were doing, and we would go eat with them. And, the Tias would be there that they would help with the kids. And, we would all have separate tables. And I mean, we had three long tables, and of course the smaller children, the toddlers, had their little tables, and it was really interesting. So every day we try to sit with somebody new and interact with somebody new. And I mean, it was just great as far as getting to know the kids that way. And they, of course, all have nicknames for everybody, and we have nicknames for them. And it was awesome.
Tell us, Haley, tell us what a TIA is. We want to kind of start at like the ground level here of knowledge. People may not, they may hear that. Tell us what the TIAs are and what they do there.
So, they are helping with the kids as far as they,
They're the workers.
Right.
Yeah. These are the staff.
And they do switch out. They have shifts.
Okay.
They live there and I don't know what their shifts are like, but they will work a certain amount of days, you know, morning through night, and then come and switch out with another shift, but they are completely taking care of the kids. And of course, us being there helps take some of the strain off of them too.
So they're cooking.
Right.
They're cleaning. They're teaching. They're wiping noses.
And it's amazing to see the relationship they have with all the kids. And I mean, you can just see in their interactions with all the children, I mean, how much they love and care for those kids, because they are leaving their own houses every day and their own families to go spend 9-10 days, however many days on a shift.
The transportation became very difficult during COVID, so they went to a schedule where they worked 9 days, 24/7, or 24 hours a day, 9 days, and they swap out that way.
So the TIA would work a 9-day shift, and then they would be off for another 9 days, and then they would come back. Mm-hmm. Boy, COVID made us adjust a lot of things. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them live in Puyo, which is a town about 5 miles away, give or take, and they would have to walk to work. And they did. They walked to work during COVID because the buses quit running. So
isn't that something? That's commitment.
The level of dedication of the staff at Casa de Fe is unreal. Unreal.
Wow. Well, and that helps us, because let me give you an example of you know, not that our church needs any more motivation or encouragement to give, but if y'all remember at Christmas time, we do a Tis the Season. It started out as like an auction, a fundraiser, And then COVID changed it to where we kind of did a silent auction. And now we just ask for money. We don't, right. You know, yeah. Yeah. But, well, hey, we just need money.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that we need money for is in December of every year, the Ecuadorian government requires double pay for employees. Well, that's a pretty big lift, you know, for a nonprofit. And so these TIAs, they're, you know, Casa de Fe is required to pay them double their normal salary. And so 'tis the season, fundraising banquet raises funds to help pay those TIAs. And I think that we need to keep doing that. You know, they're the worker bees of this thing.
Yeah.
Something I want to add about the TIAs too. I never felt like they were workers either. Like those were their children, you know.
You felt like they were mothers.
Absolutely.
Right. That is so important.
In Spanish, TIA means aunt. They don't call them teachers. They call them aunts. I thought that was a cool, cool idea.
Yeah.
And back to, tis the season. Every year so far since we went to the online deal, it's exceeded expectations every year.
Oh yeah, we always kind of wonder when you change up something that's working, you know, okay, are we going to get the same result? And it surpassed that.
Right.
So it's like, why haven't we been doing this, you know, whole time? And that's just how the Lord works. You know, this Sunday morning, August 3rd, we hosted the International Mission Celebration, and we got to hear from Bart and Will that morning, and we wanted to produce, you know, some extras for y'all. There are things that, you know, in the confines of a worship service, we just couldn't get it all in, you know, but we were hoping to just give y'all some more, you know, things to think about as we consider foreign missions and in Ecuador. And I know that, you know, Bart and Will have been talking about that morning. We weren't able to cover all of y'all's questions on August the 3rd. So let me just give y'all some space here. What is there something that you'd want to know that we weren't able to cover that morning, that y'all want to chat up real quick?
Will or Haley or both of you, what inspired you to decide to go on a mission trip in the first place?
So the biggest inspiration for me, I wanted to go last year, but with work, I wasn't able to really take off. But it was the first year that my mom and my sisters went. My dad was planning on going as well, but he got sick and wasn't able to travel. But they went, and just hearing their testimony about what God did for them while they were there, and having two sisters that are adopted from another country, I've always had a special place in my heart for orphanages and things like that. But I wanted to go last year, and I was like, there's nothing that's going to stop me this year. And I wanted Haley to come, because I knew if I'm going to spend time with children, I want my wife to be there. I want family to be there. I mean, it's a family environment. And, just to see what my mom and my sisters did last year. And when my sister spoke in church last year discussing their trip, it's not something that you can really take in from just hearing about it. You've got to experience it yourself. So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, speaking of experience, maybe Haley, you can tell us about a typical day what was your typical day like in Ecuador?
Okay, so we'd wake up and eat breakfast, and we would have a work portion of the day, and we'd have a portion with the children. And sometimes you would have that in the morning or evening or vice versa. And I personally did, I'm a nurse, and with another occupational therapist, Brooke, that was there, we did therapy. So at our time with the children, it was therapy. And these children, they have a therapist there every day. And the special needs children, some of them are not able to move on their own. So we would stretch them and do certain activities. And specifically, there's a little girl named Samira. And I wasn't there last year, but evidently she wasn't able to walk last year. And I was able to work with her and she's walking and sometimes unassisted. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing that they're able to have a therapist there for these special needs children, and they're making, you know, strides, and they're able to improve their life, and not just that they're just there and being taken care of physically as far as like just eating. They're actually able to help them with their physical ailments and everything.
Now, does that, like your work there with the therapy, was it also training Tia's and helping them understand maybe some things that they could do, or
not in my time? I don't know if they normally do that, but there is actually a therapist that comes to comes to work there every day. She offsite, she comes, and there is a therapy room specifically, and there's like a special ramp and everything for Samira that we were helping her up and helping her down, and there was some Tias that were in and out, but as far as like training them to do, I'm not positive, but I'm sure they know just.
Right.
It's everyday things that they can do to help. And there's also devices like braces and everything they put on the children when they're not getting therapy that will help them. But I was really impressed that they were able to have that service.
So you would work with the kids half of a day.
Right.
And then you would do, you said there were other work. What was the other work?
Moving a lot of heavy rocks.
Yeah,
I think we all saw the pictures and we're like, huh.
But it was a beautiful result, I will say that.
Yeah, so we sent a landscaper down there with all this vision, and that requires moving rocks. Huh? So nobody's exempt from moving rocks.
Oh, no one.
Yeah,
no,
everybody moves rocks.
It's a rite of passage, I feel.
Yeah.
That's how they initiate you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Will, tell us about a moment you had with the children or a child that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah. So of course, Haley talked about Samira, but, I mean, there's so many kids and just so many experiences. So it's kind of hard to pick just one. But the day we left, one of the little special needs boys, we call him Isaac, but Isaac.
Yeah.
I really hadn't got to spend a lot of time with him because I was doing a lot of the manual labor stuff throughout the week. But the day we were leaving, we got to spend some time with the kids that weren't in school. And so we were pushing kids on swings and pushing them around. And he just kind of just latched onto me. And we kind of built a little bond there in the last 3 hours before we had to leave. One thing that he was amazed by, of course, is technology, because they don't necessarily have everything that we have, but and don't get to experience that every day. But just being able to kind of hone in and on his personality and kind of figure out exactly what he liked, it was just really cool to see how happy he was just being able to be there with him and kind of give him some love.
Yeah. And Isaac. Isaac.
Yeah. Isaac. Yes. Right, yes. So for either, what kind of challenges did you face while working, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah. So of course, when you go down there, you're expecting, oh man, it's fixing to be just miserably hot, and it's near the rainforest. It's not that hot, actually. It's very humid. You sweat a lot. Physically, just a lot of manual labor, of course. You have to drink plenty of water, but I would say the biggest challenge was I wasn't ready. My heart wasn't ready to be affected by, I mean, it just kind of, God slapped me upside the head, and he just said, hey, I know you weren't expecting this, but this is what I'm fixing to give you. And he kind of fed me from a water hose I wasn't expecting to be fed by. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. I was not prepared for that at all.
Yeah, it's amazing how your heart has way more capacity than you think it does. And you feel like, you know, I'm tapped out in relationships or whatever. And then you go to a place like that and you encounter all these new people, and all of a sudden you love them.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, it is overwhelming. It is.
I don't know if I'll answer this correctly or not, but what I was had in my mind was, a lot of times when you go on mission trips, for me at least, you hear, you know, you're going to be changed, and you are going to feel this way and this way, but it changed for me as far as like what I could do for other people. you know, you think of how, and it did change me, it did, but a lot of the I's turned into them, you know, as far as giving to them and how they're going to be affected by us also.
Okay, good. Couple of cultural differences between Americans and Ecuadorians.
Oh, yeah, here's some good stuff here. Come on, Bart.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say that every person there was like this. I mean, they're such a happy town. And I mean, everybody was so glad, I mean, to see us. And I mean, I assume that a lot of the people that live there know that we're helping the orphanage. But culturally, of course, the food's a lot different. And I mean, I enjoy trying different foods and different things. But you say different, they're a lot alike us in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. They love to talk. I mean, I don't understand hardly anything they're saying to me, but we communicate better than we thought we would. Yeah. And then meeting some of the guys, the maestros we worked with, or what we call them, Bart? The guys that we worked with.
Oh, I call them maestros.
Maestros, yeah.
Which means master, but it just means that they're very skilled people. It's unbelievable what those guys can
and
do.
And I mean, that's one of the biggest things that, of course, coming from the background that I do here and working with the guys that I work with in a fabrication business, seeing what those guys work with and the tools they have in Ecuador at that facility and then seeing what they're able to do with that is just unbelievable.
Everything's a little more primitive there.
Yeah. It kind of puts us to shame, though. Yeah, really,
you're
does.
Like, wow, we're really not skilled. We just have good tools.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Let's go a little deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did this affect your faith or your spiritual perspective on things? How did this trip affect you?
In a lot of ways. I'm trying to condense it down. A lot of it was... spiritually, but I have really, really bad anxiety. And it's a lot about control. Like, I try to control everything, and I want things done a certain way, the right way. Yes. But being there, I was on, you know, we had a strict schedule. There was nothing I needed to, you know, I just needed to follow direction. I just needed to follow a certain schedule. And a lot of that just melted away. Hmm. And I'm trying to incorporate that into my everyday life instead of, you know, God's got us and he's in control and not me.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew it, and that's the great thing I realized about this trip is it affects everybody differently. I mean, we all deal with different things in our lives, and of course it affected Haley in different ways than it did me. But I mean, like I said earlier, coming from a family that has experienced adoption and seeing what it does for someone, and then seeing these kids, and I know that some of those kids that we were there several months ago, I mean, they're adopted at this point, and they're going through the adoption process. Some of them don't know they're going through the adoption process, and just the opportunity to go and give a little bit of myself and leave it there with those kids and know that, hey, I went and did this, and I'm know that I'm coming back, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back again. It's just a different experience than I truly ever thought it would be. Those children, those Tias, all of those people that work there have a piece of my heart, and they always will. And when you enter Casa de Fe, everybody's like, oh man, it's just a different place. You know, when you go and go through those gates, God's got his hands on that place. Yeah. And it's until you go and experience that yourself, you'll never experience anything like that in your life.
Yeah. I've heard that from a dozen people in 10 years, you know, that there's, you just gotta go.
Yeah.
You just gotta go. And then you'll understand, you know, And I've done some foreign missions in every church that I've been involved in. And one of the things that happened to me spiritually coming back to the States was, you know, you want to look forward to that next trip. And that next trip is important. It might be next year or 2 years before you get to go again. Well, it created in me this like fervor for missions. Like, I'm not waiting to do missions until I go back to that place. There are so many opportunities around here, you know, that in our town or in our state or places that I can drive to. And so it created me like this, just this hunger to find things that I could touch more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So that was a something I remember bringing home with me. Yeah.
Mark? Can you speak to the way the children react to you when you are interacting with the children or interacting with the Tias or the maestros? Just speak to how they react to you.
I mean, it's a blessing that Casa de Fe has, that they have so many different groups that come down there already, that we're just one of many groups at this point. And I, of course, like Bart and I have talked about, those groups, I mean, continue to build and build and build. And I mean, of course, we went from one group to two groups and hopefully three groups, and it keeps going. But just seeing the joy on all those kids' faces and all those Tia's faces, and all, because they know we're there just to spend time with them, just to give them, I guess, a glimpse of something else. It's not the same thing that they go through every day. Of course, kids, when they're in school, they think, oh, I'm tired of this because it's the same thing every day. I think all of us get kind of tired of seeing the same thing. And when a new group shows up, it's new people, it's new experiences, it's new. I mean, anytime that I meet somebody new, it's, I don't know what to expect. So I'm sure they're the same way. But just their eyes, just the interest that they kind of perk up and are like, okay, is this kid going to play soccer with me? Or is this kid going to, I'm like, what can I get him to do that he might not should do, but I'm going to test him. It's kind of, it's funny just to see, and you get to see all the kids' personalities and things like that. And I mean, that was the biggest thing for me from those kind of expectations. And just, it's different.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And like you said, they're all excited. And there was this one little boy, Luis, and he reminded me of my son.
Yeah.
He's got double dimples, and he was really sneaky. And he would, you know, he would always poke at me and say, you know, watch this. And it was fun. Like you said, all the different personalities.
Yeah.
I imagine the workers there, too, are, you know, if you have a big landscaping project and it's just you and one other guy, well, then all of a sudden you have all these hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're like, oh, thank you. Because, you can shrink down, you know, what may take them a month or two of work.
Right.
And we can get that done in a couple of days. The old mini hands make light work. So,
right.
Yeah, I can imagine the men are very excited to see other rock toters around, you know, or builders or whoever, you know, to come in and just help.
When you step on campus, you literally go through a gate. Mm-hmm. To get on campus, and for someone like me that's been there many times, it's unbelievable the amount of work that's been done there. Yeah. And it's just, it's almost like Will said, you know, God's here, because without God, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a house of faith. And
it's awesome. It's an awesome thing to see.
Well, as we're kind of wrapping up here, this conversation, I've got one question, and we did ask this in a way on the morning. Would you go again? I think you've already answered it.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You know, 100%. It wasn't even like, I am going again.
Yeah.
You know, Bart, we know the answer for you.
Yeah.
Because you've gone how many times?
9 or 10. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's gone again. Haley?
Absolutely. My only regret is not going before.
Mm-hmm.
Is all the years that our church has gone.
Yeah.
I wish I would have went all those times.
Yeah.
I'll be back every year.
And the biggest thing, I guess thank you to Miss Connie and all that, and the behind the scenes work, everybody's like, oh man, it's going to cost me a lot of money. It does not cost a lot of money. Yeah. And I mean, if you have some kind of hurdle that you think that you've got to get over to get there, figure out a way to do it, because yeah. it will bless you in way more ways than you ever thought it would.
Yeah. Is there one piece of advice you would give to someone who's contemplating going?
Go ahead and find that babysitter now.
yeah. Who kept y'all's kids?
So yeah. Thank goodness. I mean, we live literally across the street from her parents and then right down the road, which it's going to change this coming year, because my dad said he was wanting to go. So my dad kept my kids part of the way. Yeah. So we split them up a little. Yeah. And so my in-laws kept them, Haley's parents. So and then my dad kept one. And so it was nice.
But it can work out. Yeah. If you have small children and you want to go do missions, you know, it may seem daunting at the front end, but
you might learn some other parenting tips while you're down there and see that these kids can
something to bring home.
Well, let me just thank y'all for sitting down with us today. I think this will, you know, give us a little more insight to our church. You know, we just couldn't cover everything in a Sunday morning service, and we just wanted to hear more. So with that, we'll sign off, and thanks again for coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Good time.
Thank you.
All right.